In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In this room, there's a flagon filled with some very ordinary wine. It's just fermented grape juice and nothing else. But in a few minutes, we'll be asking God to receive this wine and some bread and to transform them, to make them holy, no longer common or ordinary. And they will stay that way. Holiness is one of the themes of Holy Scripture. Sometimes it's the holiness of inanimate objects. Sometimes it's the holiness of a nation. And sometimes it's individual, personal holiness. For sure, God is holy. In Isaiah, we read, "One seraph called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" Psalm 29 says that worship is holy. "Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness." Holiness is one of God's attributes that he allows us to share with him, since we're made in God's image. In Leviticus, we read, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, You shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy.'" We also read, "Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord, your God." Holiness is a state of purity, being ritually clean. Holiness is being separate from things that are sinful. Leviticus contains the holiness code, which has detailed instructions for holiness. In his book on Leviticus and holiness, Alan Ross reminds us that God's absolute standard for our coming into his divine presence is holiness. On the other hand, Ecclesiastes states what we all know perfectly well: "Surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins." Because sin defiles, because sin keeps us from being all that God wants us to be, potential worshipers have to be made holy by atonement. In ancient times, this took elaborate sacrificial rituals. These provided reconciliation with God so that people could enter his close-up presence. In no way did Jesus take away God's requirement for holiness. He reiterated it, saying to the disciples, "Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Moreover, Holy Scripture teaches that God offers the priesthood, once hereditary, to all. In 1 Peter, we read, "You are being built up to be a holy priesthood." We also read, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood." Thus, personal holiness is important. If we go through Holy Scripture, it's not really hard to compile lists of thoughts and actions that help us distinguish commonness from holiness. There's the Ten Commandments. There are lists in Leviticus and also elsewhere in the books of Moses. Proverbs lists seven things that God hates, things that are an abomination to his soul. Then there's the list of things that come out of the human heart and make a person ordinary or common rather than holy and set apart. There's a short list in Matthew and a longer list in today's gospel lesson. The longest list in Scripture is in Galatians. The list we have today is pretty straightforward. I don't need to go through it item by item. Simply put, these are things that we experience in the world around us. They're part of basic human nature. And with some careful self-examination, we might be able to see some of them in ourselves. In today's lesson, James says to put them away. That's easier said than done, because some of them are actually a lot of fun, at least at the time we're doing them. Not everybody responds in the same way to God's call to holiness. Throughout history, some seem to have chosen to have no relationship with God at all. We see them today as atheists or secular humanists. Among those are activists who have chosen to have an antagonistic relationship with God. And some have overtly decided to respond to the call of the devil. We know that God wants these folks to come out of darkness. We know that God calls them over and over again, and we know that some will hear and respond to that call. One of our duties as the church is to facilitate that awakening. There are those who hear God's call, but are still working internally to awaken and respond to it. One of our duties as the church is to facilitate that awakening and to help their relationship with God grow and deepen until it's complete. All of this is possible because of Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection. Because God loves us and wants us to be holy, His love and His holiness came together on the cross. This perfect and effective sacrifice made all other sacrifices unnecessary. When we come here with the intent to praise and worship God, we're preparing ourselves to be made holy. The service itself is additional preparation with its prayers and its hymns. The sincere confession of sins and the proclamation of forgiveness enables us to worship God in the splendor of holiness as we come to Him at the Holy Communion. When temptation comes in our daily lives, Holy Scripture offers prayers for holiness. There are some short prayers in Psalm 51. Wash me thoroughly from my wickedness and cleanse me from my sin. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. May we always aspire to share in holiness with God, now and forever. Amen.